Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you'd like, in your Bibles. That's where we're going to be reading from and studying from this morning. I think I'm going to do a series on 1 Timothy, at least if I don't cover every section of it, I'll cover the themes of it. But today, we're going to be looking at all of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. And I hope to be able to, as Bert said this morning, you know, give us some courage to get through this life by understanding what the Bible calls sound doctrine. That's what Paul focuses on in his epistle to Timothy, all throughout this epistle and the second epistle to Timothy, and also Titus. Those three epistles are called the pastoral epistles. They're Paul's instruction to evangelists and setting in order the things in the church and establishing the doctrine and teachings of the church. And so they're called the pastoral epistles. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul mentions the phrase sound doctrine. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul tells Titus to teach sound doctrine. So what is sound doctrine? Well, the definition of the word sound in the Greek, it comes from the word hygiene, what we get our English word hygiene from. So it carries the idea of healthy. And so there's at the top, I don't know if you can read those words on the image up there, but it says in good condition, not damaged, not injured, not diseased. Synonyms are healthy, fit, well-built, solid, strong, intact, whole, unimpaired. And so there's a contrast here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 between strange doctrine and sound doctrine. So let's read verses 1 down through verse 20, and I'm going to try to tie all of this together in one main fundamental thought that Paul is trying to drive home about the priorities that are taught by sound doctrine. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So right from the very beginning, Paul is emphasizing hope because of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, of God our Father and Christ Jesus. Verse 3, as I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine or teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Now Paul goes to an example of himself. And you might think that this is disconnected, that Paul's moving to a different point, but I don't believe that's the case. I believe Paul's using himself to illustrate what are the priorities of sound doctrine. And so these men, these false teachers, are moving away from the Word of God to fruitless discussion, endless speculations, dealing with myths, genealogies, and they're not furthering the administration of God by faith. The administration of God by faith is to result in the aim of love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from a sincere faith. But they're moving aside from these things to indulge in other speculations. And so I believe Paul is using now in verses 12 through 17 himself as an example of what results from the priorities that are taught by sound doctrine. In verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Paul's referring to his life as a Pharisee, the Pharisee of Pharisees, commissioned by the council in Jerusalem to go and persecute Christians and drag them out of their homes and throw them into prison and have them killed. He's referring to his past. And so in verse 13, he says, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. So at the end of this, Paul is encouraging Timothy to fight the good fight, teach sound doctrine, don't compromise the faith, don't compromise his conscience, but to fight the fight. And so what I would like us to see this morning is the priorities of sound doctrine that help us to get through this life. Because this life is very difficult at times. This life has a lot of despair, potentially. This life is a life of futility, the Bible teaches. Oh, there are many blessings, and we in America are blessed greatly, beyond imagination, compared to the rest of the world. And that can sometimes make us enamored with this life. It can sometimes make us seek the things of this life, to be comfortable and look for that comfort and to seek all of the pleasures of this life, because we have them so much available to us here in America. But that's not the focus of the gospel, is it? Because this life can be very hard and difficult for most people. It is, at least at various points in their life. And maybe even they see no hope that, for this life. Maybe they have situations and circumstances that they don't really see a way out of. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a family issue. It could be any number of things that burden us down and afflict us with things that are not pleasing in this life. And so the priorities of sound doctrine are to help us to understand what is most important and how to view our lives in connection with that, so that we can get through this life in spite of the fact that this life sometimes is so difficult and so despairing, and we feel like giving up at times. These are the things we need to focus on, Paul says. These are the things that give us purpose. These are the things that make our life meaningful. The focus of sound doctrine, the priorities of sound doctrine, Paul identifies in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and uses himself as an example. And so the first thing he mentions, of course, in verses 1 and 2 is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Through his grace and mercy and love, we've been granted this hope. And so he points us immediately to the fact that we have eternal life. And that's no small matter, of course. We possess eternal life through Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ, those who have submitted themselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ and have claimed the gift, received the gift that God has graciously given us through Him, have hope of eternal life. And so there's always something more. When this life fails us and when this life is difficult and sad and sorrowful and we don't see any way out of it, there's always something more, something blessed, something great, something awesome that we wait for, that we hope for, that we believe in, that we expect, that we trust. And that by itself is enough to get us through. And so hope first and foremost by God's grace, mercy, and peace. The focus, the administration of God, Paul says, is by faith. And so faith is trust and obedience. Faith is first and foremost trusting in God. As a result of our trust in God, we will obey Him. We will submit to Him. We will do what He has us to do. That's the focus of sound doctrine. And what it produces is love. Because the commandments of Jesus Christ are focused on loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. The two great commandments. And so the administration of God by faith sets its aim on love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from a sincere faith. And so everything that we do, everything that we focus in on as Christians, centers on loving God and loving others. And that gives us a purpose and a focus, because love is an action verb. It's defined by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 with, I think it's 15
verbs.
15 verbs in 1 Corinthians 13. Every single definition is a verb. And so love is an action word. And so now our lives are filled with purpose, because we're being taught and trained to think as those who love God and who love our neighbor. And that's purpose. That's meaning. That results in action. That results in giving us a foundation by which to live and to act. And so that's the foundation. That's the entire aim. So if you'll read again with me, he says in verse 6, "For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions." Men are straying from these things. I don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to stray from these things. The furtherance of the administration of God is by faith, and it produces an emphasis and a priority on loving God and loving our neighbor. We don't want to stray from these things into fruitless discussion, into endless speculations. But though there are those who want to be teachers of the law who will seek to do so. And they don't understand what they're talking about because they don't understand the purpose of the law. Paul says it's good. The law is good. But it's not for the righteous man, but for the wicked and the evil. In other words, it restrains sin. It doesn't save us. The law doesn't save us. And there are men that are trying to be teachers of the law. These are probably a reference to the Jewish teachers who are emphasizing obedience to the law of Moses. And they're hammering rules, 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 rules. You got to do this, you got to do that. They're even making them up. They're making up the rules. And they're binding those rules and hammering those rules. And they're telling people, you got to keep these rules. Jesus said to these men, these Pharisees type people, that they heaped heavy burdens upon men's shoulders, but were unwilling to lift them. That's what Paul is referring to. They want to be teachers of the law, but they're missing the whole point. They're straying away from faith, which produces love. And that's the priority of sound doctrine. And again, that becomes the foundation for life, for purpose, for meaning. When life stinks, when life is hard, when life is full of loss, when life is full of despair, Because it happens. It happens. We lose in this life. We decay in this life. The world is full of sin in this life. There's evil around us in this life. People aren't what they ought to be in this life, and they hurt us. And so we have family problems, we have work problems, we have relationship problems, we have health problems. What sustains us? What gets us through? What gives us purpose? What gives us meaning? That's what Paul's getting at here. So, if you'll continue on with me and look at the example that Paul uses for himself. He is describing himself as one who has been put into service by Jesus. That's you and me as Christians. We have been put into service by Jesus. Jesus is looking for people who will be trustworthy so he can put them into service. So Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me. He's given me strength to do what? Look at the life that Paul led. Look at the life he led after he became a Christian. Going from town to town to town, being run out of town, being beaten, being stoned, being thrown into prison. I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, who has strengthened me. I'm getting through this life. And when Paul writes 2 Timothy chapter 4, he thinks his life, and it probably was, very close to an end. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. And there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And so Christ was strengthening Paul to get him through this very difficult life that he was living. Paul chose to live that life because he was trustworthy. He chose to serve Jesus Christ because he wanted to be faithful. Why? Well, read on. He says, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Difficult life, honor and glory to God. Gratitude to God, to Jesus Christ for strengthening him. So Jesus is always looking for people who are willing to be trustworthy in his service. Paul was viewed that way by Jesus. He acted ignorantly in unbelief. It wasn't that Paul was rebellious against God. Paul thought he was serving God by persecuting Christians. He lived his life, he says, in all good conscience before God. He thought he was serving God. He had a zeal for God. He had a zeal for the law of God. He thought he was doing right. And so he was faithful in that sense. He was trustworthy. That's what the word faithful means in this context. Trustworthy, and Jesus viewed him that way. Even though he was a violent aggressor, even though he was against Christ, Christ saw in Paul that willingness to be faithful to God, that willingness to trust God, that willingness to be counted on to do what God wanted him to do. He saw that in him, and he put him into service. That needs to be you and me. We need to be that person who God sees as trustworthy to do what he would have us to do. That's what he's looking for. He wants our hearts. He wants our trust. And he wants us to be responsible then to carry out his service. And in doing that, we are given purpose. We're given meaning. We're given hope. We're given all of the blessings in the heavenly places by doing that, by being trustworthy in God's service. Notice where that comes from, though. And I think this is the key. Sound doctrine emphasizes the mercy of God. And we have to see ourselves the way Paul saw himself. We have to see that in ourselves. Paul, yes, was a violent aggressor, a blasphemer. He was killing Christians. Yes, he was the foremost of all sinners, he said. Yet I was shown mercy. And the grace that was so abundant in Christ Jesus was bestowed upon me, he says. And I will never, ever forget that. I will constantly remind myself of that because I'm going through all of these struggles, all of these difficulties, and Christ is strengthening me all along the way. Why? Because I recognize the mercy and grace that has been shown to me. And as a result of that, I'm willing to do whatever God would have me to do. I'm totally committed and dedicated to Him because of His grace and mercy. I see where I would be without Him. I would be without hope, and I would be without strength, and I would be in a world of futility and despair with nothing to count on. No hope. Just go through life and endure the misery and the despair, and maybe not even endure it, like many people choose to leave this world, choose to take their lives into their own hands because of despair. This world is a world of futility. And we have so many blessings here that it's easy for us to feel comfortable, almost like we don't need God, almost like we don't need Christ. But we do, because we're in sin. We have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And even though we weren't persecuting Christians like Paul was, sin is sin. And it requires God's mercy, and it required the payment of Jesus Christ, His Son, on the cross. The ultimate payment that we owed that has been paid for us. And so Paul is saying, this is what sustains me. This is what gives me. This is what empowers me. This is what strengthens me. And so this is also what gives me purpose. This is how I live my life. And so now I'm loving God and I'm loving my neighbor because I have faith, because I trust, because I believe with all of my heart, and I'm so grateful to God for His mercy and His grace. Yeah, He's allowing me to suffer for His sake. He's allowing me to go through this life of futility, and I'm going to endure, and I'm going to get to the end, and I'm going to have eternal life. And so he concludes in verse 17 with the thought of honoring God and praising God and giving Him glory for that. You see the purpose and the meaning? That's what sound doctrine produces. That's what sound doctrine strengthens. It emphasizes the grace and mercy of God so that we're strengthened to endure whatever this life may throw at us, because we know that God has blessed us greatly beyond anything that we would be able to provide for ourselves. And so, Paul makes this point. He says, even the worst sinner, because that's him, can have eternal life. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's you. That's me. And here we are together, rejoicing together. Look at the backgrounds that exist in this congregation. If you know people in this group, the more you get to know people in this group, the more you'll hear a little bit about their backgrounds. And I'm telling you, for a lot of us, it's not pretty. It's pretty ugly. And for those for whom it's not ugly, then thank God that they were raised in such a home and such a family that blessed them so that they didn't have too ugly of a life and didn't indulge and engage in so many of the various activities that many have engaged and indulged in that are wickedness, like the law teaches against. We were those people. And even if we were raised in a way that we didn't engage in all of those various wicked activities, we're still sinners. We still have violated God's law. We still are in need of His mercy and grace. And without that, we go to hell. Without that, we're separated from Him. Without that, we're dead. Because only the death of Christ pays the price for our sins. And so here we are, each and every one of us, who is in Christ with purpose and meaning. We're going to go love God, and we're going to go love our brethren and love our neighbor. And we're going to bring as many people as we can to the Lord by sharing His love, by sharing our faith. And that's the foundation of our lives. That's the furtherance of the administration of God by faith. That's the emphasis of sound doctrine. And that's what we don't want to move away from. We don't want to stray away from these things and start to emphasize rule keeping. And yet God, of course, expects us to obey Him, doesn't He? We obey His teachings. We obey His laws, not the laws that men make up, not the laws that are bound upon us by the teachings and commandments of men. So one final point then. The fight. Paul recognizes that, and he exhorts Timothy. He says in verse 18, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan, so that they will be taught not to blaspheme." It's a fight. You're in a fight. But the foundation of the victory is the administration of God by faith and the aim for love. Loving God and loving your neighbor. And when you keep that in the foremost of your mind and your thoughts, it strengthens you for His service. And so you become trustworthy. You become someone who is faithful. You become someone who values the mercy and grace of God so much that God can trust you. And if you fail Him, you will come back to Him. You will not let your faith be shipwrecked. You will fight the good fight. You may fail at times and the devil may win a battle, but Christ has won the victory and you will fight the good fight and you will come back to Him and you will further the administration of God by faith and you will demonstrate your love for God and your love for your neighbor in your life. And that will give you meaning. And that will give you purpose. And that will strengthen you to endure. And if you think this world is going to give you that, if you think this world is going to be your happiness, you are sadly mistaken. If you are deceived by the devil into thinking that the comforts of this life that you experience in America are going to sustain you through this life and give you happiness, you're sadly mistaken. People are in despair. People go through their lives in despair. People go through their lives in futility. They don't have the purpose and the meaning that God has granted those who accept it, those who submit to it, those who value the mercy and grace of God. I want to close with just a reference to Luke chapter 7 and the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her hair and wept over Him in the Pharisee's house. And the Pharisee challenged Jesus and said to Jesus, why are you letting this woman touch you? She's a sinner. Probably a prostitute is what most commentators believe. She was a prostitute. And Jesus is allowing her to wash His feet with her hair. And so Jesus says, "Simon," that was the name of the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." And He told him a little parable about the one who owes a lot and is forgiven, and one who owes a little and is forgiven. And he says, which one of them do you think will love him the more? Oh, the Pharisee answers correctly, well, the one who was forgiven more, of course. And Jesus said, that's right. You see this woman? When I came into your house, you didn't do any of these things for me. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't greet me. You didn't do any service for me. This woman is displaying her appreciation for the grace and mercy that I have to offer her. But you haven't done any of these things. And then he says, because he is who is forgiven little, loves little, and he who is forgiven much, loves much. And so what he's pointing to is this very idea, the foundation of sound doctrine that sustains us through this life is a continual, constant recognition of the grace and mercy of God that allows us to have a hope of eternal life, that teaches us to trust God and serve Him in love, and gives us purpose and meaning. But that all comes from our appreciation of the mercy and grace of God. And that's why Paul uses himself as an example, I believe. And that's what connects all of this together. But that's the key. That's the key to the strength that we have in our lives to have purpose and meaning, and not to despair, and not to give up, and not to let this life beat us down, but rather to put our trust and hope in God and in His grace and mercy. Appreciate your good attention this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song now. And it's an opportunity, if you'd like to put on Christ in baptism, if you know the truth about the gospel, it would be very important for you to understand that first before you would do anything. So if you would like to study that, we'd be very happy to do that. Just let us know, and we'd be very eager to study with you about the gospel of Christ so that you can be right with God. Or if you'd like prayers of the congregation for any particular need that you have, whatever your need may be, we invite you.